All right, good evening, everyone. We're glad you're back for the evening service tonight. We trust God will bless you and give you a great day as you serve the Lord. I hope you had a great afternoon and we're able to get some rest in and enjoy the wonderful day of serving the Lord. Now let's go to our songbooks. We will be singing a few more songs. We're going to start with Trusting Jesus. And if you have a songbook, it's page 405, Trusting Jesus.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly does His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He needs, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Seeing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger on Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the Jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
And let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful that we can put our faith in You, we can trust in You, and we know that, Lord, You will always meet our needs and You will always supply. We thank You, Lord, that You are so faithful. We ask You to bless and encourage our church, encourage our folks, strengthen us by Your grace, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll sing another song now. We'll sing Saved, Saved, Saved. It's number 509, if you have a songbook, 509.
I found a friend who is old to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what His grace can do for you. By His power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on His mighty arm. I know He'll guide me all the way. Saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. When poor and needy and all alone. In love he said to me, come unto me and I'll lead you home to live. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved.
All right, we'll go to the announcements now. Of course, we don't have a lot since we're not having regular services. We can't have regular meetings. But remember, we will have the regular Wednesday prayer service, and that will be going on at normal time on Wednesdays. And so we encourage you to come back for prayer service and Bible study, as well as we will remind you about the address. When we do get over all this trouble, when folks can come back to church, we're at 407 Marley Station Road, and so we invite you to come and worship with us here in Glen Burnie. And then also remember for our members, remember to send in your tithes and offerings. Don't forget those things so we can keep the budgets going and meet all of the needs. All right, so that's the announcements that I have. So we will go now to Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. It is a wonderful truth. We've been redeemed by the Lord. So we'll go, it's 512 if you have a songbook. 512, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty a King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
And then one more song before we go into our message tonight. Number 511, Only a Sinner, Saved by Grace. 511, if you have a songbook.
Not have I gotten, but what I receive. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting included, pride high abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, left me my case, and now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. has had all the clothes, loving his Savior to tell what he holds. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace.
All right, and we trust that was a blessing to you to be able to sing. As it was to me. It's always a joy to praise the Lord, and we're thankful that we can. All right, we're going to continue our series in the book of Exodus. We are in Exodus chapter 29, so if you have your Bibles there at home, go ahead and turn to Exodus 29. And this is a long passage, so I'm going to break from my normal, which is to read the passage and then go back through it. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and then we will go over that point, and then we'll read some more and go over each of those as we go, just because of the length of the passage. It is about 46 verses long tonight. Now, the passage that we're going to look into in Exodus chapter 29, and I need to turn to chapter 29 and not chapter 26. Chapter 29 is dealing with the consecration of the priest. Now, the word consecration has the idea of making holy or setting aside as being holy, making them to be a pure and holy group that are serving the Lord. And in this passage, what God is doing is teaching people concerning the nature of salvation. What does it take to be saved and to serve the Lord? And he's going to show us what is involved in that through this passage. Now, it's done in pictures, and it is, you know, in the sense concealed. Someone once said that the Old Testament is the scriptures Christ concealed, and the New Testament is Christ revealed. And so it is hidden away. It is in symbolism. It is you have to interpret. But it does reveal to us the matter of salvation. And so God is going to teach us concerning salvation. And we begin in verses 1 and 2. It says, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, that will minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and an unleavened bread with cakes, an unleavened tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened without anointed with oil of wheaten flour shalt thou make them." Now, here, as we look at this passage and we talk about what's going on, this is regarding the matter of making them hallowed or making them holy. And in order for them to serve the Lord, they have to be holy. Now, we can learn from that man must be holy in order to serve God. And the implication, of course, is that if they had to be made that, they were not this. Man is by nature not holy. We are not born righteous. We're not born saved. We're not born right with God. We're not born holy. We're born in sin. We're sinners. And the sacrifice for man's sin is a sacrifice that must be a perfect sacrifice. They were to take two young bullock. They were to take the two rams. And we are told later on in the passages that all of these had to be perfect animals, that they had to be without fault or blemish, it says there, without blemish. They had to be a perfect animal. And so as a result, the sacrifice for man's sin is a sacrifice that must be perfect, and it must be one that is without sin, for it says the cakes that went along with it were of unleavened, and leaven is always the picture of sin there in the scripture. And so the sacrifice for man's sin is going to have to be a holy sacrifice. It's going to be a perfect sacrifice. It's going to be a sinless sacrifice. And it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who actually fulfills all of that and who could sacrifice, be the perfect sacrifice for us. And then the nature of this salvation, once one person comes to Christ and serve, the nature or gets saved, the nature is that he is going to be serving the Lord. That's what we're to do, to minister unto me, to minister unto the Lord. That's the job of the Christian, is to serve the Lord, to serve God. We have a responsibility to minister unto the Lord. And so the nature of salvation, it involves going ahead, not just merely getting us saved and then do whatever you want. No, it is you're saved so that you may serve. You're saved so that you can do right, so that you can go on and serve God. Now, secondly, we'll look at the next section in verses 3 to 9. It says, "And thou shalt put them into one basket," that is these cakes, "and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring into unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them, and thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." Now, if man is going to serve God, then man must be washed clean of sins and clothed in holiness and be anointed by the Holy One, or anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, this passage here, I know it's kind of technical as you read through all that, and you might say to yourself, where in the world does he get all of that stuff out of that? I remember sitting in the pews wondering, where in the world did that pastor get those words from? You know, how's he coming up with all of these things? But as you take your time and as you read and think about what God is saying to us, God has a message for us, and we have to meditate and think about it and say to ourselves, all right, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What is the message here? What's the eternal truth that we need to learn? Well, the first thing that I see in this is once they come here to the tabernacle to begin the process of cleansing, they need to be washed. And why did they need to be washed? Because this is a picture of removing the defilement that's on the outside of you. You know, you get dirty, you need to take a bath and get clean so you're not all defiled, so that you're not all dirty. You need to be cleaned. And so they were first to be washed. They needed to be washed clean of sin. Then they needed to be clothed with the garments of holiness, the garments that set them apart. And this is certainly what happens to us when we come to Christ. We come to the Lord Jesus, the Lord forgives us of our sins, and he clothes us in his own righteousness. And so it is a picture of what the Lord Jesus does for us. And then you notice that it tells them that you are to take and you are to anoint them. You're to pour this anointing oil upon them and to anoint them. Now, it may seem a bit odd that here's a person who has just been dressed in all these fancy clothes, and now you're going to take and pour oil on their head. That may seem a bit odd, you know, to us. And, you know, here you are, you're going to mess up the clothes, aren't you? You're going to make everything, you know, messy. It's going to be seems a bit odd to us when you try to picture that in your mind. But God is showing you a picture. He is telling us that we too need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, we know from Scripture that Jesus is the Anointed One. And it's kind of a play on word in some of these Hebrew words. The one word here is masa, which is to anoint. And from that, we get the same word, Messiah, which is the word that we get Messiah from. And so there is the Anointed One. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One that came to be the sacrifice for man's sin. And thus it is that we are anointed with the Lord Jesus, who came to be the sacrifice for our sins. He is the one that anoints us, and it is applied to us by the Holy Spirit. But through all of this, it is a picture of God's work in salvation. We've got to be cleansed of our sins, we've got to be clothed in righteousness, and we have to be filled with the Spirit of God if we are going to serve the Lord. Now, as we go on, We'll look at verses 10 through 14. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation. Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. And thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock, and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock, and his skin, and his dung, shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. So here you see what happens. They bring the animal and they have to lay their hands upon it. This is symbolic of the fact that sin, man's sin, has to be transferred to the sin offering. And this is what happened. Christ bore our own sin, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Our sins were laid upon him, Isaiah places it. And so here, sin has to be transferred to the sin offering. Now, there were some parts, as we read, that were burned on the altar. There were some parts that were burned outside the camp. Some parts burned there, some outside the camp. Other parts that were more associated with the sinful parts, those were burned outside the camp. The parts that were more clean, those were associated and burned on the altar. And so this also teaches us something. Christ offered, Christ our sacrifice, offered up his spirit to the Heavenly Father. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But what happened to his body? His body was laid in the tomb. His body was committed to the corruption. Now his body did not see corruption, we're told, that it rose up because God accepted the sacrifice, and thus his body did not see the corruption. But his flesh went to the tomb, and that flesh went to the tomb outside the camp. And the passage that deals with this in the New Testament is in Hebrews chapter 13. And I think it's worth taking the time to go over there. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 11 through 13, here we read this. Hebrews 13, 11 through 13, or 14, it says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And so there is a great lesson that is taught there to us, that Christ offered for our sins according to the scriptures. He bore our sins in his own body upon the tree, but he was taken outside the camp, and he was thus his sin was sacrificed, that was removed and taken away from us. It was removed outside the camp. So man's sin must be transferred to a sin offering. Now, in verses 15 to 18, we read this, thou shalt also take one ram. Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood, and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, and wash the inwards of him, and his legs, and put them unto his pieces, and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord, it is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So here, man must be totally devoted to God. As you notice here, it says this is a sweet savor offering. It is something that smells good to God. It is a sweet savor offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The whole animal was to be burned up. The whole animal was to be sacrificed there. And this is part of what happens when we come to the Lord Jesus. A man must be totally devoted to God. Once we're saved, once we have been washed clean of our sin and we have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we've been anointed with the Spirit of God, we need to be totally and utterly devoted unto the Lord. And the passage that comes to mind there is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, we are to give our bodies unto the Lord as a reasonable service. It is reasonable that we give the totality of ourselves unto God. It is what we should do. Man is to be totally devoted to God. And it is this act of devoting ourselves to God that pleases the Lord. It is pleasing to God. And so we need to be those who are serving the Lord. So he's showing us what happens when we are saved. We who are sinners can't serve the Lord, but we need to serve the Lord. And so God has provided a way whereby we can serve the Lord, whereby we can be made clean, whereby we can be forgiven of our sins, whereby we can be filled with the Spirit, and we can be devoted to the Lord, because our sins have been transferred from ourselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his own flesh on the tree. Now, and we come to the next section here, verses 19 to 21. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. So here, in this section, we see that man is consecrated only through the blood that is applied. It goes to the ear that hears the word of God. It goes on the hands that are to serve the Lord. It goes to the feet that are to walk with God. Man is to be totally consecrated, and we are consecrated, we are made holy when the blood is applied to us and it is applied to our every part. Thus, that part of us which hears the word of God is to be totally and utterly sanctified. We are to be a people of sanctification, a people of consecration, a people totally devoted unto the Lord, whose hands are used in God's service, whose feet are used in God's service, whose mind is his mind, every part of us, that which goes through and into us, is totally and utterly consecrated unto the Lord. I'm reminded of the situation with Jezebel in the Old Testament, how that Jezebel there, when she was thrown out of the tower and thrown down and killed and then run over with the chariot, it says that the dogs came and they ate up her flesh. Now, that's rather disgusting, but it makes this point. They didn't eat her hands and they didn't eat her feet. Her hands, which were swift to shed blood, and her feet, which were swift to iniquity, even the dogs couldn't stomach. Yes, our hands are to be hands that are used for the work of the Lord. Our feet are to be swift in doing that which is good and not that which is evil. And so let it be a remembrance to us that we are to be a people totally consecrated unto the Lord. Now, the next section is verse 22 to 37, a longer section here. It says, and thou shalt take of the ram the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, and one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and they shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering, and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved, and which is heaved up, of the ram of consecration, even of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by statute forever from the children of Israel, for it is an heave offering, and it shall be an heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offering, even their heave offering unto the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And that son that is a priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days, when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And thou shalt take the ram of consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his son shall eat of the flesh of the ram, and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them, by a stranger shall not eat, but a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. And if aught of the flesh of the consecrations or of the bread remain unto the morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. And thus shalt thou do to Aaron and his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. And thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days shalt thou make an atonement for the altar, and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now, in this section, we see that man is to be living in fellowship with God. We who have come to the Lord, who have come and recognized that we are not holy, that we are sinners, and have come to Christ for forgiveness of sins and the clothing and the righteousness of Christ, who have the anointing of the Spirit of God, who are devoted totally unto the Lord, who have transferred our sins to Him, we are people that are to live as not only holy, but people who live in fellowship with the Lord. In verses 22 to 28, all God gives, we dedicate to Him, who returns it for our own use. This is the purpose of this wave offering. The wave offering, God gives it to us. He gives us these things. We then take them and we wave them to the Lord, okay? You know, holding them up, waving them before the Lord like this. Here it is, Lord. This is yours. And then we bring it back and it is ours. And so God here is saying that we are to give to the Lord everything we have. But guess what? God gives that all right back to you. He allows you to have those things and to use them for yourself. Now, fellowship with God is a thing that is to be passed down. It's a thing that should go down to our children. I have heard sometimes people say, well, I don't want to force my children into the, you know, making a decision. I'll just let them decide what to do. Well, that's just plain unbiblical. We are to encourage them in the paths of righteousness. Now, you can't make them become a Christian. You can't make them get saved. You can't make them repent of their sins. None of those things can we make them do. But we can certainly encourage them. They ought to be there with you in church. You ought to bring them with you, and they ought to be learning of the things of God. And they ought to be growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be encouraging them to serve the Lord. Fellowship with God is something that we ought to pass down. They ought to see us praying. They ought to see us reading the Word of God. They ought to know that we care about the things of God, that it is important to us. And as a result, it will be something that will be important to them. Now, in verses 31 to 34, I'm reminded there of the verse in 1 Corinthians, whether therefore we eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink, it is fellowship with and to the glory of God. When they were eating, they were fellowshipping with God. It was a picture of saying, we are in fellowship with the Lord. God is taking it into us, and we are taking Him into us, and we are fellowshipping with Him. And so we are to fellowship with the Lord. And the life of fellowship with the Lord is a life of pure devotion, of complete obedience. He says there in verse 35, and thou shalt do unto Aaron, and thus shalt thou do unto Aaron according to all things I have commanded thee. See, it is to be a life of obedience to the commands of God. And they say, well, I don't understand all things, and I don't sense sometimes that sweet fellowship with the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you sing these songs, and it seems like, you know, the person had such sweet fellowship with God, and they had such close communion with God. And you read, you know, devotionals of people who have talked about their fellowship with the Lord and how sweet it was. And maybe you just don't feel that way. Well, not all of us are real touchy-feely people. You know, some of us are just not very touchy-feely. Some of us just don't get subtle hints. You just need to tell me plainly what you want. Don't speak to me in subtle hints, because it goes right over my head. I do not pick up subtle hints. You know, you just got to speak plainly. So some of us are not real touchy-feely, but we do understand obedience, and we do know what we're supposed to do, and we do understand that we're to fellowship with God. And whether we sense the God's presence with us or not, we're to pray. And whether we sense God speaking to us directly from His Word and that sweet communion and all those things that we hear, we're still to read our Bible. And whether we sense God working in our lives in the Spirit, we're still to obey. We're to do what God has told us to do. We're to live a life of fellowship with God. So it doesn't matter whether you're a person of great emotion and you feel all these things, and that's wonderful if you do. Praise God for you. But you know, there's others that just don't. And we still have a life of fellowship with God. And that life of fellowship is a life of obedience to what God has told us to do. Now, in verse 38 to 43, we have our next section. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at evening. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour, mingled with a fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and a fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for it for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you, and I to speak there unto thee. And there will I meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Now, the tabernacle is sanctified by the glory of God. That's what makes the tabernacle holy and right. And what is it that makes us to be sanctified? Because we are now the tabernacle of God. He dwells within us. It is the glory of God displayed in us. Thus, we need to let the glory of God be seen. And from this passage, you'll notice here that it emphasizes the fact that there is to be a continual offering, a offering made by a morning and an evening sacrifice. Morning and evening, there is to be a devotion to the Lord. And so from this, I get the principle that man should regularly devote himself to God. You know, it is a characteristic of us that we drift away. We are, you know, by the activities of life and the function of society and the movement of our work and all these kinds of things that are going on, we just sort of drift away from God. We don't just stay right there with Him in close communion. And thus we need to regularly go back and say, Lord, I devote myself to you. Lord, I am going to keep going for you. Lord, I'm going to make sure that I keep serving you. And morning by morning, we get up and say, Lord, today, this is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And in the evening, we come and say, thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given me and for the things that we have so that we can serve you. And Lord, give us rest that we might get up in the morning and serve you again. And so we regularly, day by day, devote ourselves to God and say, today I'm going to serve the Lord. Today I'm going to do right. Today I'm going to do better. Maybe yesterday was a disaster. Maybe yesterday was a day of sin. Maybe yesterday you were defeated. Maybe yesterday you did some things you didn't want to do. Well, ask the Lord to forgive you and say, Lord, tomorrow we're going to do better. Tomorrow we're going to go on and we're going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we strive to dedicate ourselves regularly to the Lord. Now, as we come there to the last part of this passage here in verse 45, 44, 45, and 46, we come here to a great section where God is really explaining things to us. He says here in verse 44, and I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest office, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now, the first thing that we see here is in verse 44, that it is God is the one who consecrates. Notice here this. It's easy to read over this and allow that to be missed. He says, I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and I will sanctify Aaron and his sons. It is God who says he does these things. How is it that we are made right with the Lord? How is it that we are saved? Is it because of what we do and because we repent and because we decide to change and because we work hard to do right and because we labor to obey? No, it is God who does the work. It is God who forgives our sins. It is God who gives us new spiritual life. It is Christ Jesus who bore our own sins in his own body upon the tree. It is the Spirit of God who takes those things and applies them unto us. It is God who does the work of salvation. It is God who makes us to be a holy people. It is God who works in us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits produced by the Spirit. It is God who does these things. And so God is the one who consecrates. It is only in Christ that when we're God is in human flesh that we could be saved. Think of some of these passages. Emmanuel, God with us. The passage there where God spoke to Abraham and Isaac on the mount, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. Don't just read right over that and think, well, it just means simply that, you know, God's going to provide the lamb. No, there's much more to that. God is going to provide himself a lamb. And this is what John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, this is a wonderful passage. It is God who consecrates. And yes, I know it's a long section to get to it, and there's all this instruction and all these sacrifices and all these things, and it's kind of confusing and hard. But as you get down to the end there, don't let your mind so wander that you miss the point. God does the work. What a blessing that our salvation is not dependent upon you. If your salvation is dependent upon you, then you've got to worry, because you're going to fail. The arm of flesh will fail. You need to recognize your salvation is not on you. It is on God. God has done the work. Don't be afraid. God has consecrated. He will make you holy. He who began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until that day when the Lord returns, God is going to continue to work in you and bring you to that place of salvation. And so do not be afraid. Keep trusting in the Lord. God is the one who consecrates. But then in verse 45, he says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. God saves us, then he dwells in us, and he is our God. See, this is the process. God first saves us, then he dwells within us, and then he is our God. in that use of the term God, it's not so much a name as it is an office. He is our, that's who he is. That's what he's doing. He is directing us, leading us, moving us, showing us, teaching us. It's not just the name, but it is what he is doing. And what a powerful passage this is, that God saves us, and that God who saves us then dwells in us. God dwells in me. He dwells in you. Do we recognize how precious that is? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the God who is indwelling you says, I will not leave you. Now we may think he's left us. We may sometimes cry out and say, Lord, where are you? We may feel like we've been abandoned. But that's all got to do with us and our fears and our failure to trust the word of God. God says, I will not leave you. I will not go away. I will save you and I will dwell among you. What a great passage this is as he teaches us of the nature of salvation. And then he is directing us. See, he is our Lord. He is our Savior. We are to allow God to be God. Don't go to your own understanding. People do that all the time in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. What do we so often do? We lean to our own understanding. Well, we better do this. We better go that way. Well, we better try this. Trust the Lord. Well, if I do that, it just won't work. Yes, it will. Trust the Lord. Don't be afraid. God saves, then he dwells, and then he is our God. And then lastly, in verse 46, and they shall know. They shall know. See, if any man will do the work, he shall know the doctrine. How do you know that God is with you? By what you do. God has saved us from bondage to sin, so that we may have fellowship, or so that he may have fellowship with us and be our God. This is what he said. He said, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. What shall they know about that? That I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Who saved us? It's God who saved us. What a blessing. He is the one who brought us out of that house of bondage, that house of slavery. He is the one that delivered us from that. And why did he do that? That he may dwell among us. Yes, God wants to fellowship with you. He wants your fellowship. You may feel like nobody loves me. You know, as the old saying goes, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, might as well eat worms. Well, you know what? God does love you. God does love you. He loves you so much that he saved you and he wants to dwell with you. The problem is not the desire of God. The problem is you. Have you taken the time to walk with him? Have you taken the time to pray? Have you taken the time to read his word? Have you taken the time to meditate? Have you put away the things of the world? Or have you let the things of this world, the sins and the weights which do so easily beset us, control? See, we need to take time. And he says, I, the Lord, their God. That's who he is. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is that self-existent one, the eternal one, who is self-revelatory, who desires to know us. That God who made us wants to be our director. He wants to be your leader. He wants to be your God. God here has given us a wonderful lesson on salvation. He's taught us about atonement. He's taught us about repentance. He's taught us about forgiveness. He's taught us about the work of salvation in our heart, of how Christ had to pay the price for us, that he had to be that Savior. He's given us wonderful lessons. And it's all because he wants us to know that he wants to live with us. God wants to fellowship with you. Do you want to fellowship with him? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we do pray that you'll work in our hearts. We're thankful, Lord, that you have saved us. And Lord, we know that we need to be a consecrated people. We need to be a devoted people. We need to daily, yes, daily devote ourselves to you because, Lord, so often we turn away from you. Help us, Father, to do that. Help us to recognize that we need to be a people consecrated unto the Lord, that we are a people who have the blood applied to us, and thus we must be a different people. Our hands and our feet and our ears must be used in the service of our God. We need to walk with you and talk with you and serve you day by day. Help us, dear Lord, to be a faithful people, to love you and to serve you. And we pray all this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you and give you a great week as you serve the Lord.